This is a podcast from Real Life Sango in Clarksville, Tennessee. Thank you for being a part of our growing online community. We hope that you'll soon be able to join us on a Sunday morning, but in the meantime, you can text prayer request by texting the word prayer to 931-378-6778. And you can make a financial investment by texting any amount to 84321 or going to reallifesango.com/give. Now, enjoy the podcast.
About 3 years and 1 month ago, there was not a gathering of people called Real Life Church that you could bring your friend to and hear amazingly, mind-blowingly, unspeakably good news. 3 years and a month ago, there was not a gathering of people called Real Life Church that you could invite your friend to and they could step into and be enraptured by the presence of God that absolutely leaves them undone. 3 years ago, in 1 month, there wasn't a gathering of people called Real Life, where people could come and ask questions and find purpose and discover meaning and be freed from addiction and find hope and find the forgiveness of their sins and come to know God, their Maker. 3 years and 1 month ago, that gathering of people called Real Life Church did not exist. But glory to God, a band of about 50 people said there needs to be a gathering where people can come as they are without any mask, without any ambition to impress anybody, to come strictly as they are with all of their questions and all of their brokenness and all of their mistakes and all of their failures, and come and find hope and acceptance and love and purpose. And we launched, well, we had no idea what God would do, Real Life Church. And some of you were in that very first gathering, and some of you today is your very first time with Real Life, and we just want to say a big welcome. And we want you to know that we planted this church for you. But we didn't just plant that church for you. We planted that church, this church, for your children. And we planted this church for your grandchildren. And we planted this church for your great-grandchildren. Most of us think about life in too small of a way. Most of us think about life with too little of a vision. Most of us think about life about today and what we're doing today and what we're doing next week and maybe what we're going to do in 10 years from now. But most of us don't think about life in terms of my great-great-grandchildren. But I want to invite you into something so much bigger than yourself today. And I want to invite you to imagine something amazing with me on this land this morning, right now, just for a few minutes. I want every one of you, whether you're 8 years old or 48 years old, or whether you turned 40 today, I want to invite you into a journey with me to imagine something really powerful, really special, really amazing, so much bigger than you and me. And it's something that would go on and on and on beyond us. It's something that would be a larger legacy than you could ever imagine your life being a part of. And it's you rolling up your sleeves and investing in this little church that leaves an indelible mark upon your relatives, upon your great-great-grandchildren, and your neighbors, great-great-grandchildren, and your co-workers, great-great-grandchildren, for generations to come. Raymond Bagwell is here this morning, and Raymond and his family sold us this land. Raymond's in the golf cart. Would you guys welcome Raymond? Raymond would tell us stories about how his family raised strawberries on this land. And we know that every farmer walks over the land that he's planting crops on, and he prays over that land because he knows if it doesn't get the rain and if it doesn't get the sunshine and if it gets an infestation of bugs, the fruit, the crops, they're not going to grow. And so how amazing is it when Raymond was just a little tyke, and maybe even before Raymond was born, that his parents were walking over this land praying for God's mercy to touch this land so that crops could grow, so that fruit could grow, having no idea that God had spiritual fruit in mind on this land. I want to invite you to imagine this morning your great-great-granddaughter being baptized in a building that's going to sit right where we are. Some of you men need to get out of the women's restroom this morning. Some of you ladies need to get out of the men's restroom because you're sitting right where the restroom's going to be. But would you imagine with me just for a moment, a different pastor than me, baptizing your great-granddaughter in a building on this land, and maybe you're here to see it, or maybe you're watching it from heaven. Can you see that with me for a moment? I want to invite you to engage your imagination. And I want to invite you today to make today a special day in your journey where you begin to live with radical intention, where you begin to live with radical purpose, where you begin to live with your great-grandchildren in mind and leaving them a spiritual legacy. And what I want to tell you this morning is that we can do more together than if you were just trying to do it on your own. We can do more together, locking arms together and saying, God, if you fill us with your spirit, if you grace us with your presence, we're going to roll up our sleeves and we're going to build something beautiful with you, Lord Jesus, on this land for your glory that's going to go on and on and on and on and on and on. And one day we're going to have a front row seat from heaven and we're going to rejoice that we did not waste our life. We did not just kind of putz around, but we invested in the movement of Jesus called Real Life. I just want to invite you to consider that you will not regret investing a dollar in this movement, that you will not regret investing an hour in this movement, that you will not regret investing your sweat and your hard work in this movement. You will not regret investing your intention in this movement. And it's so much bigger than me and it's so much bigger than you. But I'm believing with faith today that God, listen, God wants to stir something powerful and spiritual in your heart. I'm believing that God wants to give you a glimpse in faith, that he wants to give you spiritual sight to see a little glimpse of what he's going to do in a building that sits on this land. I just think of grandkids, your grandchildren and my grandchildren and our great-grandchildren learning for the very first time the song Jesus Loves Me on this land. Being rocked by people that love them, that have given their time and their effort to rock them and to sing those songs to them. Can you see it? Can you imagine it? Can you believe that God may want to do that? Some of us this morning on this land, we're military families, and we already know in a couple of years we'll be on to our next assignment, and we love you and we're so thankful for you. And what we want to invite you into is to believe that you have a spiritual legacy that's not just rooted in your family tree, but in your spiritual family tree. And we want you to invest in something that your family grandchildren and great-grandchildren may or may not get to taste and see. But your spiritual family, somebody, listen, soldier, soldier's wife, soldier's kid, somebody is going to come up to you in heaven and say, thank you for investing in Real Life. And it might be 100 years after you are in glory, and they're going to come up and they're going to say, thank you. You don't know me. You were only at Real Life for 3 years, and then you went on to your next military assignment, but you invested, and I got saved. I met my maker there, and I lived my life for Jesus. And had you not invested, I might not have encountered that. I just want to invite you to open up your imagination and to see something new and see something fresh and see something powerful and see something spiritual that God your maker wants you to see. Listen, some of you before today, you had in your mind how you would relate to real life church. But I'm believing that God may want to move something, shift something in your heart today that changes how you relate to this movement, how you invest in this movement, how you let people love you and how you love people. Jesus had some interesting words to say in Luke chapter 14, and I want you to open up your Bible, pull out your phone, pull up the Bible in YouVersion, real quickly find your way to Luke chapter 14. Jesus said some interesting things. I want you to see it. Luke chapter 14. When you've got it there, would you just hold up your phone or hold up your Bible? Luke chapter 14. We're going to start in verse 34. We're just going to look at two verses this morning, but I believe God's going to speak to us powerfully. Would you just hold up your phone when you got it? Hold up your Bible when you got it. Let me see. All over the field today. Luke chapter 14, verse 34. I want you to see God's word in the sacred scriptures this morning. Are you ready, church? Say, we're ready. Look at what Jesus says in verse 34. Salt is good. Just pause there. Anybody feeling that this morning? Salt is good. Come on, we live in Tennessee here, right? Like, we know salt is good, right? Anybody? Have you ever eaten an unsalted French fry? In that moment, you say, salt is good. Salt would be good. More salt, please. Your grandmother who fixed your favorite dish, she knew salt was good. You try to make your grandmother's favorite dish without salt, it's not good. Do you know what I'm talking about, church? You know what Jesus is talking about? He says salt is good. What else does he say? Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is of no use either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown away. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus is saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, don't be distracted and don't be apathetic and don't be cynical and don't harden your heart, soften your heart, open your heart, dial in, listen in. Jesus, the King of Kings, the Son of God, wants to teach us something. Something that lodges itself into our chest this morning and goes with us beyond today. Jesus, who made you, wants to teach you something. And he says, salt is good, but if it has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? Look at this phrase. It is of no use for the soil or for the new manure pile. Now, we know what we use salt for today, right? I think of French fries, right? Our French fries got to taste good. We put salt on it, right? I think about when it snows or when it just threatens to snow and us Tennesseans freak out and we bring out the salt trucks, right? And we salt the roads that don't have any snow on it yet because we're just freaked out, right? Anybody from the Northeast this morning? We're just sorry. We apologize. We're just soft down here, okay? So just any threat of snow, out come the salt trucks. But you know, some of you have slipped on ice before. And you think, why didn't they put the salt out, right? So we know of salt's usefulness. It makes our food taste good. It cleans our roads so we can get on with business. And it makes it so we don't slip and fall and break our back, right? I love how Jesus teaches because Jesus is like, I just want you to understand spiritual truths. So I'm going to break it down on a really simple level. Salt, it makes your French fries taste good and it clears the roads for you to get on with your business. Jesus said salt's good. In Jesus' day, salt would have been used in a baker's bakery. They would have put salt on the floor so that when the bakery was burning and cooking, it would have ignited with what would have likely been dung or manure on the floor. And it would have ignited and made the fire hotter and been useful to the baker to be able to cook food that nourishes people. So that people aren't starving, but they're satisfied. So that people aren't hungry, but they're strengthened by the food. So salt had a really important purpose in Jesus' day to help the baker cook food. And then after the salt was used with the baker, they would often throw it in the soil and the saltiness of the salt would kill the weeds off. So that whatever was growing there would be able to grow freely. So Jesus says, salt is good. Salt is good unless it loses its saltiness. Unless it loses its saltiness. So in other words, as the salt is sitting in the floor of the bakery, igniting the fire and making the fire hotter, it would slowly but surely lose its saltiness, and then it couldn't be used. It couldn't even be thrown into the soil to grow the soil. Salt would lose its... salt would no longer be useful. And Jesus is using this image to say to real life church today, hey, I've been so faithful to you and you've been so generous, and in just 3 short years you've bought land. Amazing. I'm celebrating with you today. And you guys have dreams and you guys have visions and you guys are putting plans in place to build a building, and it's going to be a beautiful building and it's going to be a functional building and it's going to open its doors wide so that people all throughout, I don't know if you know this, but on the other line of this tree line right over here, so would you just kind of look back here, on the other line of the tree line, if you walk to the tree line and throw a baseball as far as you can, you would throw it into a neighborhood that's about to build over 200 homes. Right now, if you pull up Google Maps on your phone, it's just complete blank. It's just complete land, just open land, just like this was. Open land, and they're about to put 200 homes right over the way. I talked to a family that lives in Whitewood. Whitewood, just a few years ago, did not exist, and they walked to church this morning. God has strategically put us right in the heart of Sango to be able to open our doors wide and to welcome those that need purpose and to welcome those that need hope and to welcome those that need to be saved and to welcome those that need a place to serve and to make a difference in Jesus' kingdom. But it's possible, and don't miss me here this morning, church, it's possible that we may build a beautiful building and open our doors wide and be totally unuseful to the Lord. Salt, losing its saltiness. It's no longer useful. It's not useful for anything. So I want to ask you today, do you want your life to be useful to the God who made you? And do you want our church to be useful to the Lord? Because, dear friends, listen to me this morning. We can, as individuals, live in such a way that our life is of no use to God. And we as a church, though we're going to build a beautiful building here and open our doors wide, we could conduct ourselves as a church in a way that would be of no use to God. We lose our saltiness. What does that mean? Well, it means that we lose our focus. It means that we lose our passion. It means that we lose our priority. It means that we lose our commitment to worshiping Jesus. That's why our mantra, say it with me, is keep it real, keep it Jesus. It's because we know if we get our focus off of Jesus, if we take our commitment away from Jesus, if we stop trusting Jesus, if we don't make worshiping Jesus a priority, if we don't make Jesus' church a passion, if we don't keep it Jesus, then in essence, we're making ourselves unuseful to the Lord. It may be a beautiful building, and we may go through all the motions, and we may give ourselves warm, fuzzy feelings, but in His eyes, we're not useful to Him for His purposes. Do you see it? Listen, some of you here on the field today, you don't have a relationship with God because you've not turned from your sins and trusted in Jesus. But the good news today is that God loves you and you can be forgiven of all your sins. But God doesn't just want to forgive you. He doesn't just want to save you. He wants to send you into His world with purpose. And He wants you to keep your life focused on Jesus, all about Jesus, so that you can make a difference in the world that matters most and that's going to last forever. It's going to last forever. So how do you know that you can have the forgiveness of your sins? You open up your heart in faith to Jesus, believing He died and rose again to forgive you of your sins and make heaven your home. You can do that today right where you are. You don't even have to pray out loud. Just in your heart, say, Jesus, I need you. You're the Son of God. I know you alone can forgive me. Save me, Jesus. And He'll save you. He'll come into your life. He'll be your King. He'll be your Master. He'll be your Lord and Savior. Most of us on the field today, though, we would say, we've been saved, but are you useful to God? Are you useful to God? Do you guys like yard sales? I love a good yard sale. I like having yard sales because I like selling all my junk and, you know, and decluttering. But then I like going to yard sales and recluttering. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I love going to a good yard sale, and I love finding a good yard sale. A couple of years ago, I put out on Facebook that I was looking for a lawnmower. And like in a snap, I had three people like, you know, giving me lawnmowers. And they barely worked, you know. It's like, here's a lawnmower. It doesn't work. There you go. Would you come get it? Thank you. Yeah. Can you imagine finding a great deal for a lawnmower, like 10 bucks, great lawnmower, looks amazing. You know what it costs because you've been researching lawnmowers, and you take it home and you can't get it to work. And you pull the crank and you think, I'm not strong enough, so I call my neighbor. Your neighbor pulls on the crank, it doesn't work. You replace the spark plug, you can't get it to work. Here's a lawnmower and your grass is growing and your grass needs to be cut, but it won't run. And you try everything. You tool around in it. You take the thing apart. You put it back together. You call your friend that knows how all this mechanical stuff about lawnmowers. And everything that you do, you can't get it to work. And the lawnmower, at the end of the day, is completely unusable. And then your wife comes out of the house. And she says, have you filled it up with gas? And you fill it up with gas, and it starts the first crank. Listen, Jesus is the fuel for your life today and for our church today and tomorrow and forever. And God is inviting us into something today that if we keep it Jesus, if we keep our message focused on Jesus, if we keep our passion and priority in worshiping and serving Jesus, and if we keep our heart trusting and soft and humble before Jesus, listen, God is going to absolutely blow our minds, and we're going to be so useful to the Father. And he's going to use us in proportion with who he is. And we're going to look back and our minds are going to be blown because God's going to do an amazing thing in our midst. Do you believe it, church? Will you believe it with me this morning? Will you believe that God just wants to do, as the sacred scriptures say, beyond all that we ask or imagine? Just this week, listen to me, just this week, a man put in my hand a check for our building of $50,000 moving ahead. It's just incredible. Would somebody match that today? And maybe it's not a $50,000 check. Maybe it's a $100 check, or maybe it's a $100,000 check. Why am I asking you to think along these lines? It's because what Jesus wants to do on this land is going to require, listen, every single one of us rolling up our sleeves and giving him our heart and giving him our all. And I can't wait to see the stories that God writes through you, church, through you on this land, as we make ourselves useful to the Lord by staying salty and filling up the lawnmower with gas and keeping it Jesus. Can you just like talk back to me real quick? I'm going to say keep it real a couple times, and you just say keep it Jesus. And as we do this, we're going to do it as a prayer to God. As we shout keep it Jesus, it's a prayer to God to say, Lord, help us to keep it Jesus. It's a confession to God to say, God, we so easily make it about us. We so easily get our focus off of God, get our focus off of Jesus, and we want to keep our focus on Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the King of Kings. And so as we shout it, let's shout it as a prayer. A prayer of desperation of asking God for our help, but let's shout it as a prayer of faith, believing God that he's going to do it in and through us. Can we do that, church? So keep it real. Keep it Jesus. And you're just getting warmed up and you haven't had the food trucks yet, and I get it, all right? So keep it real. Keep it Jesus. And that's a little better, but I just don't think that that's what we're looking for here. Nobody's even on their feet yet. So keep it real. The worship team said we need to try it again. Church, listen. The devil prowls around like a lion seeking whom he may devour. And if we don't keep it Jesus, if we don't keep our focus on him and our faith in him, if we don't keep obeying Jesus, then the devil's going to get a foothold in our life and he's going to destroy us. And so this isn't a pep rally, but this is a sacred, holy, encouraging one another right here. Amen. So keep it real. Jesus. And your preacher's going to be tempted to scratch itching ears, and he's going to be tempted to chase down all the latest things, and he's going to be tempted to jump on Twitter and say, what should I be preaching on? It's what everybody else says I should be preaching on, but there's really only one thing that I need to be preaching on, and you know what it is, so I need you to tell me what it is. Keep it real. And listen, nobody needs a fake church. Nobody needs anybody to pretend that they're something better than they are. Nobody needs to come in here and try to hide their sins and hide their brokenness. And that's why I say to you, keep it real. Church, I love you. With all my heart, I love you. But more than that, our God who made this land that we stand on today, he loves you with an unfailing love. He knows the numbers of hairs on your head, and he will not fail you. So fill the lawnmower up. Make yourself useful. Listen, make yourself useful. Make yourself useful to God. Have you ever had a lawnmower that doesn't work? I mean, you start cussing at it 6 months after it sits in the garage, right? Keep it real. You're like, we're gonna fix that thing? You're gonna fix that thing? We paid somebody to fix that thing and it won't work? So don't be sitting over in the side of the garage. Don't be sitting in the side of the garage, unuseful to God. He's not gonna cuss at you. But it'll break his heart. And he'll go and find somebody else to be useful to his purpose. So church, just one more time, and we're going to have baptisms, and it's going to be glorious. So with all you've got, with a hand lifted to the heavens, and your heart open before the Lord, saying, Lord, I need you. I can't keep it, Jesus, without your Spirit's help. But with your Spirit's help, I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. I'm going to keep my heart soft before Jesus. I'm going to keep obeying Jesus. I'm going to keep telling my friends about Jesus. I'm going to keep inviting people to real life so that they can hear about Jesus. Church, keep it real.
Thank you for listening. We trust that God is stirring something fresh in your heart today. We hope to see you on a Sunday very soon. Keep it real, keep it Jesus.